A65. Number 22B.
So we turn to the next synonymous term, spirit. And we do the same as in mind. And in order that we understand these categories, I go over always the same thing, always with the same question. Well, it is like trying to play the piano. They do the same. I see them exercising day and day and out, day in and every day and over years and years, always the same notes, so on. Apparently, this is the method how we get into a subjective state so that we are master of the subject without afterwards thinking of it. So that the method of exercising is actually a method how we can get away from an objective sense of a subject to a subjective sense. Here, to a subjective sense of these levels or categories. Spirit. The first category is the question, what is spirit as itself? What is spirit when we consider spirit just without any other relationship, without any other connotation, but just spirit to spirit? What is spirit to itself? And I think here we see as a high point of spirit that spirit is the only. I think this brings out the tone very clearly. In mind, we had that mind is the all mind. Here spirit is the onlyness of spirit and brings out the inner sense that spirit is really that which knows no duality. So it is the only, perhaps in the sense of the Lord's Prayer, as Mrs. Eddy explains the first statement, the second statement, spirit, the adorable one, it is actually the one, the value of the one, and the adorable, naturally, we must not think that we adore it, but this is a value that is the one that merits to be taken as the all value, as the highest value, the spirit's value. I guess here we can see that spirit is substance. Substance is just substance. It doesn't need to be in relation to anything else. It's just saying what spirit is. It is the true substance of things. It is the somethingness of thing. So it just says to mind, spirit says to mind, what mind has presented is the only mind. That's the spirit, there is no other beside it. It's the only value, the adorable one. It is really the thing that is, its substance, what mind has presented, spirit says. That's really our true substance. We rely really on the substance that is mind. It is the somethingness that says, yes, what mind has presented is really now, at the point of spirit, the somethingness of being. It is actually the reality of being, and therefore the true nature, the true value of being, the true nature of being. It is good in the sense of God, good, not in the sense of goody-goody, but in the sense that Mrs. Eddy explains or defines good in the glossary, that good is spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. You can see good just means there is only one reality. There is only one nature. There is not a dualistic nature, no dualistic reality. It's just one reality, the only reality. So in this way, I think we have seen that these terms are all unrelated to something else. They are therefore the core of spirit. But if we want to know in the second column or category what spirit is in its own realm, its own universe, what is the universe of spirit, then I think we can say that universe of spirit is always the likeness of spirit, namely, it's of the same nature as spirit, it's of the same substance and reality as spirit, it is spiritual, spirit and spiritual being one. That's the nature of here. So that the universe is the likeness of spirit, exactly like that. The universe of spirit, that infinite universe of spirit, is not chaotic, it is order. We had in mind law here. Here in spirit is order. We see a universe that is not haphazardly put together. There is order in it. We see it in that order as the rhythm of spirit of which Mrs. Eddy speaks. We can see the whole operative sense of spirit in the spiritual universe, that it is a spiritual rhythm. Spirit imparts the understanding. Here we have a realm of understanding. You see, in the first column, spirit does not need to understand itself. It is what it is. But when it is in its own realm, then we must see that this whole realm is a realm of understanding, so that all in that universe can see why it is the likeness of spirit. It is the calculus of spirit of which Mrs. Eddy speaks constantly, therefore the rhythm of spirit, the calculus of spirit, the order of spirit. Can you hear the rhythm of it in it? The flow in the universe of it, it's no more like, you see, in the first category, it is as all those qualities give, so to say, I have to be careful what I say. I say it wrongly because it is nearer to what one can understand. It's static, gives a static sense. That says spirit is what? Substance, reality, nature, good, somethingness. As if it were static. Naturally, it isn't static, but that's how one can differentiate very easily from category 2, where we have in divine science a self-organizing system, the rhythm of it, because there we already have the calculus in it, the word Christ, Christianity, and science, you remember, in divine science. So we get a rhythmic sense of spirit's universe, that the universe is not also static, but that it is an ordered universe, a rhythmic universe, a universe of calculus, a universe of flow, where everything is like the original, and so we get infinite reflection. Now here we come to a very tricky word, reflection, because reflection could easily be put in other categories. Just at this moment, I don't know if I have put it somewhere else. Yeah, it comes later on. And therefore here I had to indicate or specify it clearly as infinite reflection, meaning that the whole universe, that rhythmic universe, that ordered universe, is one big reflection as likeness of spirit. Yeah. And all that gives us a sense that it needs space, that it needs a realm, that it needs a realm in order to have a rhythm. Then we can go to the next synonymous, next category, to the third, to absolute Christian science. What is it in relation to specifically pointed facts in that universe? How are specific ideas really to have to be seen, and so we come much more again to the sense of the Creator in relationship to its creation. That was the point in mind. Now this, at the point of spirit, is shown itself as like, producing like. See, it's another way of relationship of Creator to creation, giving therefore the likeness of it, and say whatever spirit brings forth is like the original, and so gives the relationship of principle to idea. like producing like. I know that, therefore, the principle called spirit always brings forth ideas that are like spirit. So like producing like, we have here birth. You can easily see birth could not be in column one, because spirit is to itself not birth. It is already reality. It is not a question of the second category, because in the oneness of being, no new birth takes place, because everything is at the point of isness and oneness. But birth means that something specific is brought into view, which has not been brought into view. So that's the birth of spirit. It is spirit that we know is bringing forth. Mind creates and emanates and manifests. Spirit brings forth. That's the birth of it. It has offspring. And you can see in that offspring that there is a jump. There is a jumping off point. That something new springs into being. It's the offspring. Again, a relationship of principle to idea. In this spirit, we have that great point of spirit, that spirit diversifies, classifies, and individualizes, which is nothing else but saying that spirit orders, not order, orders, shows how the one is now brought out in specifics. And it is brought out in specifics first by diversifying, or else there is just one amorphous mass, then classifying so that that diversification is not a wilderness of diversified qualities, must classify them into categories, and then individualize them in those categories so that we have actually infinite individualization that is brought forth. So from the one, infinite individualization is brought to birth through that wonderful sense of the ordering spirit. It is a hierarchical ordering activity that goes on. It's really that what we have done, for instance, yesterday with the last law. You see, we have just taken one thing and then began really to do what we have here, diversify it, said we don't just stick to that one law. We began to diversify it and said we can bring in more aspects. What kind of aspects do we bring in? We said not random aspects, but classified aspects, namely the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. When we have brought that in, we said that we can even more individualize it. And so we have seen we individualized in each one of those classifications through ideas, through specific ideas. Didn't we do that? So that whole last law that we did yesterday on the blackboard here was just illustrating what is meant by spirit. That says, that's not enough to have just spirit as a reality, bang, finished, full stop, period. But it says, oh no, absolute Christian science comes and says, you know, I can unfold that infinitely, but I unfold that in an ordered way and not just in a random way. And I fold it through diversification, classification, individualization. If you ever had difficulty with that wonderful rendering and you thought, well, what does that really mean in the spiritual, you know, yes, I learned that by heart, spirit, diversify, classify, individualize, now I know it. But you may never have had a sense what that implies. Now in that example of yesterday, you have a very wonderful example for that, how that is brought forth. And we had a typical sense of this through that one law was infinitely individualized through the hierarchical order of spirit. Therefore, spirit orders all. So the order of spirit in divine science becomes now the ordering activity. What does it do when it orders in a hierarchical way? It is nothing else than that spirit unfolds something. Could we have unfoldment in category one? No, because reality cannot be more than reality. It's reality itself. There is nothing to be unfolded. We can't have it in divine science, because in divine science everything is already included. Only when we come to absolute Christian science, to that question, then we ask about how does that one principle, a spirit, unfolds itself infinitely. So we have unfoldment or development, and now again, reflection, but in brackets I've put specific reflections. Here naturally we get the specific reflection, how spirit reflects itself in specific ideas. So specific is naturally something else than what we had in category two as infinite reflection, where we have taken all the specific reflection together in one big realm. Yeah, so it is reflection, and that appears actually at the focal point of spirit. There the pure reflection appears. So again, we had that category three. I think if you flow through that category C, you really get the sense that it has always to do how spirit is bringing forth its specific ideas. So we have in these three categories the divine sense of spirit. And now we would have to see how that manifests itself when it touches the human, how that descending on the human, having an impact on the human, how the human experiences it, in what way, in what attribute, in what qualities the human now experiences the impact of spirit. So we have category four. In which form does it come to the human? And it comes to the human always as something positive. So we have a sense that the substance of spirit is experienced as something very positive coming to us, as something that is spiritually tangible. She speaks about the spiritual tangibility. And we know that the spiritual is tangible. Instead that it has been up on cloud nine as something highfalutin, as something misty, cloudy, it becomes now for the human something very definite, something very positive, and it, as something spiritually tangible. Suddenly we feel that the spiritual is something, that the spiritual is substantial, is something. See, the substance and the somethingness of column one, of category one, now translates itself to category four, to the human, as something very tangible, as something very concrete, something positive. It comes to us because it's the onlyness of spirit in the first category, comes to us in the four as purity. Because purity says it is free from foreign elements, it's free from something opposite, something contrary, that's purity. And suddenly that when that spirit touches us, we feel somehow the purity of it, the purity of it, I can't say it much different. And again you see that somehow here, we had in the mind, here in the column, we had wisdom. Here we have purity. It seems as if, as if in this category we get all those qualities that the third degree in the translation is showing forth. Now, what is that translation when it touches the human? It says it builds up the spiritual or reality. That's the caption, the title, subtitle of the third degree. And therefore, it is showing forth those qualities that are necessary in order to touch us so that the translation can take place. So it isn't by chance that we find here these ideas. It comes to us as strength because we always feel a sense of strength when we are touched by the spiritual and have the tangibility and concreteness of spirit and the purity of spirit, because when we feel the purity of spirit, it means that there is nothing besides it, and therefore we have the strength to withstand any other suggestion. How does spirit come to us? How does the first column, the nature of spirit, come to us? That nature of spirit now becomes qualities, spiritual qualities, which we need. Again, we have all the spiritual qualities like spiritual affection, spiritual love, and all these gratitude and so on, qualities which we very often find also in the second prayer, second subject in the chapter on prayer, that the spiritual qualities are asked for are the same also as in the chapter on marriage. The second subject is also appealing to spiritual qualities, that we have the spiritual qualities of the masculine and feminine qualities. All that comes to us. How does really the reality and the unfoldment of spirit comes to us? If spirit is unfoldment and development, how do we experience it when it touches us? It comes to us as progress. Can you see, progress can never be in category 1, 2 and 3. The category 1 cannot make progress. The category 2 cannot make progress because everything is already reflected. Category 3 cannot make progress because in the absolute there is no progress. Everything is there. So progress is really the way the unfoldment of spirit touches us and shows that it can bring forth progress, namely improvement, success. It can bear fruit. That's how it comes to us. It comes to us as evolution, which is another way of saying it comes to us as progress. Evolution is just a synonymous term applied to specific cases of progress, namely as evolution. It comes to us as a very nice way, as an ordered sequence of seeking, or an ordered sequence of thinking. When we know something, can you see? We saw that yesterday with our law on the blackboard. The positive sense of it is that spirit actually can diversify, putting it categories, classify. In each classification you could individualize it. And what did it do to us? Something was awoken within us which says, oh, this is a nice way of flowing in a successive, in an ordered way, of thinking in an ordered way. It leads thought then in an ordered way. Didn't it lead in an ordered way? We had first a fundamental law, and then something within us said, but we could, you see, but we could put category into it. So within us, we were touched and said, let's put category into it. We were doing that, because the order of spirit allows us to do that. So in this way, we more and more feel that our whole study, that our whole research work is led in an ordered way, in an ordered sequence, and not jumps and haphazard. And so this ordered sequence of development brings also understanding. Again, can you see in category 2 we had already understanding, but here it brings understanding. This is something different. So spirit brings to us ordered thinking and therefore understanding. So the understanding of spirit imparts understanding. Us. Therefore, if we want to have understanding, we jolly well can say, oh, I go to the source of understanding. I go to category 1, 2, and 3. And if I fill my thought with that, what happens in the divine being in category 1, 2, and 3, and contemplate that, and I'm open for that, then it begins to operate and touch us as an ordered way of seeking, an ordered way of understanding, and we feel this is really giving us a kind of understanding. Again, what you had yesterday, you felt at the end of that hour, you felt, golly, now I understand it. Now I got it. Now I don't have any more to seek for all kinds of ideas, and what shall I think, and how shall I think. You were led into the line of spirit, under the sway of spirit, Mrs. Eddy says, that Jesus was giving and imparting his understanding.